You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you that we can do just that. It's your word, and without God, you have to make it work. It's useless without you. So thank you very much. Give us a heart and ears to hear and a heart to understand. And our God, we're going to thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of the Gospel of John, and we are coming to the end of our Lord's upper room experience, chapters 13 through 17, before he goes out to the garden and to the crucifixion. So, in the process, we are reminded he's preparing the heart of those disciples. He's preparing their heart to understand their relationship and their assignment. It's an awesome thing. And he's given them all kinds of help. So, as just reminding ourselves, in chapter 17 and in verse 15, remember, he told them that God was going to take care of them, that they would have his word, and his word would cause a reaction from the world system that doesn't want to know God's word. And the world is not going to be happy with that. They're going to hate that. And God is going to protect the heart of the believer as they represent him, light in the middle of darkness. God is going to protect them from the evil one in verse 15. The devil himself, he's in charge of the world system. So, and in verse 18, verse 16, we shared together that God had made possible a unique relationship to himself. Christ would die on the cross and be the Savior. Christ would rise again in his holiness and give us life, sanctification, to be set apart. Christ died to save us. Christ rose again to give us a unique relationship to God, and thus the word sanctification. And we share together in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we're to be set apart by what God has said and what God has done on Calvary's cross. It's a unique relationship God has given us. And that ministry that we're to have, that involvement we're to have in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So they're going to go and be given a very special assignment to represent him in a most wonderful way. And God is going to send them as he sent his son. Therefore, over keeping that in mind, if you would, over to John and chapter, remember in John chapter 1:14, you don't have to turn there. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And God glorified himself in Christ, who was full of grace and full of truth. And in the process of that, chapter 14. And you would recall in chapter 14, chapter 14, and in verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. And also, and from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. So they wanted to see God, who is invisible. God has made himself visible in the person of Jesus Christ, so that we could see him. Therefore, verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? 3 1/3 years. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? So God, in his wonderful grace, is showing his wonderful person in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, remember, is going to go to the cross. And in verse 18, as the Father sent, chapter 17, and verse 18, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Now, that sending, that's the purpose. That's the basis of us staying. And so when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, why don't we just go to heaven? Why don't we just do that? Because that isn't what God has in mind. And it isn't a ticket to heaven. You don't get saved to go to heaven. You get saved to have life. That's why you get saved. So you aren't trying to go anywhere. You're trying to have a change from a state of death to one of life. That's what you're doing. That's why you get saved. That's why you trust God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in having the sent, and so the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, that's why all creation, including angels, remember, all of that exists. All of creation exists because of God's grace. And he's going to go to the cross so that, oh, I said it and it's underlined it, it's always to be understood. The reason you were born physically, dead in sins, is because Christ has made a provision for you. Otherwise, you'd be born and damned. No. Christ gave you an out. Christ died on the cross so that when you are born physically, you're able to know God as your Savior. Christ has paid the penalty, his death on the cross. The cross involves every human person ever created. Therefore, John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, picking up if I may, John 12, and going to verse 30. Jesus answered, I'm going to read verse 29, just remember God has spoken, God the Father, well, read verse 28 even. The Father, Father, glorify thy name. That's what God's going to do. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, is looking for God to be glorified. And he looks to the Father, glorify thy name, verse 28. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. So God is going to glorify his name in a most wonderful way. Verse 29, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. In other words, God's conversation, Christ with God the Father, was made public so that people could understand the Lord Jesus wasn't talking to thin air. Therefore, verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. That's why they heard it. Verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So God's going to go to the cross and pay the penalty, so that sets us all free, we all can be saved, and Christ is going to judge that which caused our death, sin. Who encouraged sin? Satan did. Therefore, verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And the word draw is the word to drag a net in the ocean, to drag a net to catch. God, you're going to drag a net. Why? Is there any human, is Abel, Cain Abel? Is Abel involved? Abel's in that net. Cain's in that net. All the people of Genesis 6 are in that net. Genesis 11, tower and city, all people are in that net. All the people on earth now are in that net. Why? Everyone that's born physically is responsible to God. There's no way out. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's no way out for us humans. Our religions will not do it. Our philosophies will not do it. Our thinking will not excuse or get us out of it. Therefore, judgment, the subpoena, it's a subpoena from heaven. Everyone has to support, has to report. No matter how you cut the cookie, you got to report when you're done. Now, therefore, Acts chapter 17. And in Acts chapter 17, picking up, if I may, because he hath appointed a day, this is in Athens, the message to the people, because, remember they had all kinds of gods, and that's what they did, worship everything and everyone, whatever your god is, fine, and put it out. But the unknown god, they had not a place and not understanding of God, which is chapter 17. Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. How so? By that man whom he hath ordained. Well, who is the one so appointed? Whereof he hath given us assurance. What is this such assurance, such certainty unto all men? How do we know that's going to be? Because in that he hath raised him from the dead, Christ died and rose again to save every whosoever. And if they don't get saved, they are going to report anyway, either in God's holy heaven or the Genesis, Revelation 20, the great white throne. Everyone is going to report. There is no exceptions. There are no exceptions. There is no rationale, reason, maneuvering in your head and heart that you can escape. And you know that. You say, no, it's make it easy for you. Right now, you control things. You control your thinking somewhat. You control the way you sit, etc. But right now, if I took your breath away, what do you control? How much do you control if I stop your breathing right now? And you answer to God. Are you ready for that? Say, well, I'm in control. No, you don't. No, you don't. You do, but you don't. So that's an awesome thing. God is saving us from our own stubbornness and stupidity. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and remember now, over to Romans chapter 6, just where we were, quickly, Romans chapter 6, and God help us. And we are to be reminded, as we tried to share a little last week, we ought to reckon, we ought to calculate our unique relationship to God. We are to exercise our unique relationship to God And in the process, so therefore, Romans chapter 6, because that relationship which I just been trying to share with you, remind you of, Christ died. Why did he die? He took you to the cross. He took you to the grave. He took you and rose you, gave you a wonderful privilege to be alive. He rose again to make all of it possible. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism, identification, a relationship to God. Christ took us in his own body on the tree by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, that's how it happened, and even so we also should walk in newness of life. God did a wonderful thing for his glory and honor. Hang on to that. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So we have a wonderful, Christ died for us and made possible a wonderful relationship to God called eternal life, a relationship to God's uncreated life, his person. And sliding down now, verse 11, in the light of the context, likewise reckon, calculate, compute ye also yourselves to be dead. I'm saved. How did I get saved? Why can I get saved? Because Christ died on the cross for my sin. I'm to count on that. I just said it out loud, which you can say it and you know it. Likewise reckon, calculate what? Christ died for me. He rose again. That's what he did. We just read it. To give me a newness of life. Calculate. Push the right buttons. Don't push the wrong buttons on your little cell phone so that it works. You want to go to someplace, if you have a little GPS or something again, and you push your buttons, you want to push where you want to go. So you push the button. If you push the wrong place in, you aren't going to get where you're going. So you're going to what? Calculate, compute. How am I going to do it? I'm going to do what? I'm going to calculate, compute. Christ died for me, buried, he rose again. That's what God did for me. Verse 11. Reckon yourself also dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I calculated. I didn't make it happen. All I did is push the right buttons, and the thing told me how to get to where I'm going and got me there. What did I do? I honored God's word and work on Calvary's cross, and God saved me. That's what he did. God already died for me, and I recognize he died for me. So I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God saves me in a most wonderful way. So when the church, and you know when you believe, if you're in Romans, why not? Turn over to chapter 10. And you will note in chapter 10, picking up please in verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I receive him as my Lord and Savior, and shall believe in thine heart, in my heart, but not in my head, in my heart, because it's all about my whole person from head to toe, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In verse 9, what did I do? I believe he rose again. Not only did he make my pardon possible, he died. He rose again to give me life. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Calculate. I got it. That's it. How did I get born? I was born by mom and dad, and et cetera. And that's, I calculate, that's a physical birth. So I don't have to guess, how were you born? Did you drop out of space? I mean, what did you do? I didn't drop out of space, neither did you. I came the normal way, so I recognize my physical birth. I recognize my spiritual birth. I recognize it. I reckon it. I calculate by it. I don't guess at it, I don't dream about it, you know. I'm an alien from across the border. No, I don't do that. Now, having said that, And having said that and keeping that in mind, so we have to be his witnesses in Acts 1:8, etc. And we receive Christ as our Savior, and God does a wonderful thing. We have a wonderful, wonderful assignment. What is the assignment? The assignment is, as my Father sent me, so send I you. So that's our assignment. And so, however he was sent, to glorify God, to honor God, to show God in a most wonderful way. So therefore, this relationship all over the place in the epistles, the New Testament, etc., reminding yourself and keep you awake, over to Colossians. I can say all these things, but just to read them. Colossians in chapter 1, and you would know, verse 27, to whom, 1 and 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, of this mystery, which among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So whatever the glory is, we're going to look at it in a minute, maybe. Whatever the glory is, that's God. Whatever this relationship is that you have, or that we just read and talked about, is a glorious one. Whatever glory is, it's a glorious one. That's what it is. It's a glorious one. Hang on. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory here, saved. Glory there. Here, there. Our Lord said, going to say it to us. He said, I'm going to take care of your glory here, and I'm waiting for you to be there for my glory. I want you to see my glory. Hang on. Now, chapter 3. Not only is Christ there, but in chapter 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So there's a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God's, his awesome, awesome person in glory. So God, here we are looking. So, God's wonderful glory. Now, having said that, back over to chapter 17, a little refresher. Chapter 17 of John. John in chapter 17. And glory, 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 glory. Well, okay. Chapter 17. May I pick up, please, in thought. Chapter 17, and in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which believe in me through their word. Now God, what we just read, that's why we started with, where God gives us his word, God saves us, God sets us apart, God protects us from the evil one, God sanctifies us, saves us. God gives us a unique relationship to God in order that we might, verse 18, as my Father sent me, so send I you, that we can have a wonderful purpose of why we're living on planet Earth. Why doesn't God take us just home? God doesn't do that because that isn't the purpose. The purpose is to be able to represent him and know him on planet Earth in whatever way and for however long he sees fit. The thief on the cross obviously didn't have much time, but he wasn't in the place to go have lunch because he was hanging on the cross. So he wasn't going to go anywhere. But people get saved and they have time. God doesn't take you right home. God has a wonderful plan. What's the plan? It's his glorious plan. Now, so therefore, In verse 20, God is praying. You're in the circle of God's concern. That's everyone, all of us that are listening, we're trying to read God's word, pay attention to God's word, and what is doing. God is caring as we read that, which is verse 20. They were saved, they wrote, and were reading. And thus, that's me, that's you. I neither pray for these alone, but for them. That's us also, which shall believe on me through their word. That purpose, seven purposes, seven, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, wonderful purposes to explain you're being sent. And then there's seven statements on how you're sent and why. Now, having said that, in chapter 17 and in verse 21, that, there's the first purpose, that, the reason, in order that, why are you going to pray for us? Why are we in the center of your concern? That purpose, they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me. Purpose. What's the purpose of praying? What's the purpose of dying? What's the purpose of all of this? That we may be one. How so? As with the Father, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And we shared all these in this all these times, God's wonderful triunity in unity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, a wonderful essence, nature, being, God. Unique. Don't even try to. All you can do is God gives us understanding. God says he has, everything is in the middle of God. All you can do is take God at his word. You can't understand that, neither can I. It's too big, and it should be big. God's big. Otherwise, it wouldn't be God. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. Wow, so now, having said that, that unique oneness, that purpose, the required purpose, witness, the outworking of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the awesome, awful awesomeness of God, wow. Our oneness is his. Our oneness is his. We're his body, his parts. Remember what we read in John 10 in Sunday school and that? I and my Father are one. We have a unique relationship to God. God isn't three different persons. He's one person. And when you come to know the one person, you know his awesome, which person? I come to know God. Who is God? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. A oneness. They are one. Unique one. Just one. One cardinal number. One. Single one. Only one. Wow. And we're brought into that oneness. Hang on. Said it again and again. God, here's the purpose. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. So having said that, our unique body, the parts. So, or if you can, in the light of all of that, go with me over to 1 Corinthians, and again, we'll do it just for the sake of doing it quickly, because this is requires locking it in. Get it, lock it in. Some have you not, as you're a believer or saved, do you not read your Bible sometime? And you've read a certain verse, a psalm, 100 times. An illustration. The Lord at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've read that a lot of times. I've said it a lot of times. But then if God takes that which is pregnant with truth and life, and the Lord is my shepherd, and it means something to me now that it never meant in my life. Truth. The truth awakens itself. Like John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you are life. They're full of life, pregnant like seeds. And when you let them sink in, they burst. But you got to let it build. Just like the puzzle we mentioned a moment ago somewhere. Think of the puzzle. Here's a 1,000-piece puzzle. And you've got a piece in your hands. A piece of verse, a scripture. You got a piece. The Lord is my shepherd. I got it. But you know, as God opens and the other pieces come together, of the pieces of the puzzle, all of a sudden that piece is surrounded by the pieces and more pieces and more pieces. And the Lord is my shepherd, is found in the middle of God's great creative work. In all of God's wonderful awesomeness, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's where I am in the middle. But it took all of this to be added to me to appreciate Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. Does that make sense to you? You got to have the pieces. And if you don't have the pieces, come on. You can't do much with it. They belong in the picture. They belong to God, all the scripture. He says it's all about me. Now, having said that, in John 17, over to 1 Corinthians, so he said, appreciate your patience. Remember verse 12, we're all one body, and we'll do that. Because that's what it's about. 1 Corinthians 12, picking up, please, in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized, placed into, immersed into, like in Romans 6. We are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, we have all been made to drink of one Spirit. We have a unique, verse 16, 14, for the body is not one but many members. All the different parts of the body, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Why are we assembled together? What's the word church? The word church is the ecclesia, assembly. What is the church? What is the church? It's the assembled body of believers. All the parts of the body in order. And the believers are there, and 1 Corinthians 12, God puts them in the body, and they're in the body as God would have it. And that body, church, assembly, they're assembled. They're out fishing? No, they can do all that. They can do go whatever, be whatever, do whatever. And that doesn't mean they aren't saved. It just means they aren't showing. Here's your pancreas out there going to grocery store, ShopRite or something, okay? But your pancreas out there, the average person doesn't see anything. But when the pancreas comes into church and we put the pancreas in the pancreas place, all of a sudden, the other parts come together, and the pancreas is functioning and showing itself. It's what? Part of the body. It's part of the body. Do you understand? It can't do that out there at ShopRite. It only does that when we're assembled together. And that's what the church is, the assembled body of believers. That's what they do. Why are they there? To glorify God in a most wonderful way, to make all the parts of the body. Ephesians, chapter 5. And may I pick up, please, in Ephesians in chapter 5. And in Ephesians 5, you recall, God has a wonderful, wonderful relationship to the church. Verse 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Purpose, that he might sanctify, back to what Romans 17, sanctify, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh. No, we don't hit our hand with a hammer willfully. For no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church, the assembly. For, verse 30, for we are members, think of 1 Corinthians 12, we are members of his body, singular, of his flesh and of his bones. And then you know Genesis chapter 2, the husband, the children, leave mother and father, Adam and Eve, and they become one flesh. Ah, but it isn't, that's just an easy thing to see, to become one. We get, where'd you come from? One, mother and father, one of you came from oneness. That's where you came from. Egg, seed, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, God, don't get hung up on that. Because then you're trying to figure out this oneness business. You don't lose that. But that isn't, no. Verse 32. This is a great mystery. But we aren't talking about man, husband, and wife. But I speak concerning Christ and the church, a unique oneness. They are, verse 30, they are members, verse 30, of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, etc. They're members. It's one body. It isn't that. God's might can go all over the place. But we're looking at that's interesting, oneness. But that oneness isn't it. What's the awesomeness? What's the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ. You have been made one with Christ in a unique relationship to God in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. So that as we have that relationship to God, and as the Father sent me, and we could read on and on, over if you would, chapter 17. John 17. And may I pick up, please? 17. John chapter 17, going to verse 3. Eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So God sent them. So what's the whole purpose? We came to know if you're saved, you received the Lord as your Savior. And what did you do? What did you recognize? God the Father sent the Son to die on the cross to be our Savior, to pay the price of our sin, to pardon us, and to make us pleasing in his sight. So God did that. God sent. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So I believe in Jesus. Who is Jesus? Where is Jesus? He's from God. Jesus is God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're trying to find the person. Where do we go? To the Incas, to the South America? Where do we go to find this person? Well, this person isn't findable on Earth. Where did he come from? Not a lunar landing or something. No, he came from God. What are we showing? We're showing a person that came from God. How are we showing a person that came from God? By having a unique oneness with him. How did the Lord Jesus do it? He had a unique oneness. Chapter 17, And you will notice chapter 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee from when the world was. So there's a unique, wonderful relationship to God. And that relationship to God that the Lord Jesus had is to show his glory. To show what? To show what? God is glorious. God is wonderful, 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 glorious. So with sent. What do we do? We believe that Jesus Christ is sent. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Why are we out here? To show that God, where did Christ come from? The Father. That's where he came from. Where, the God that's in your heart came, is it Christ? Born in Bethlehem, Judea. But no, that's his incarnation. He came from heaven. He's God. God came from heaven. To what? To show the world that he's God. How is he showing the world? He's showing the world and whosoever's that assemble together, parts of the body, they belong to him in a unique oneness, like all the parts of your body do. And you show that oneness. That's what you're doing. It's an awesome thing. It's so awesome we can't even come to grips with it. Because it's so wonderful. But it's real. It's as real for sure. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, here we are looking, and God, you showed, what did you do, going back in history? Noah, the lamb slain for the foundation of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Noah, what did you show? You showed the ark for 120 years. Abraham, what did you show? The blessing. God, the ark. Here's Abraham, the blessing. Where do we get blessing? Because Abraham is the father. To show what? God blesses. The blessing of God. Abraham. And so here's Israel. What is Israel showing? The law. What's Christ doing? He died on the cross to show himself. How's he showing himself? In his body, the church, the assembled body that comes together to demonstrate why are we sitting here? Because Christ died on the cross and rose again, and God has given us his word and his presence. That's why we sit here. To show what? The world's out there. The world's doing what they're doing. They go to all different, we just shared it in Sunday school, all different places. We have our churches and our hymns and our programs. We got all our stuff all over the place, but we don't have his. It's a whole nother wing. We did all that. All a whole nother game. God. We have to show the person of Jesus Christ to his honor and glory. That's the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing, and that's what we're doing. And so here, that's our body. That's what we're doing. And the tribulation is going to show God's wrath. The kingdom is going to show God's rule. But our job as the church is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ who saves us. Who saves us? God sent his son to die on the cross. He died for my sin. I received him as my savior. I have a unique relationship to God because I believe. That's why I sit here. I sit here. John 17. And all they are made one as Father out of me, and I in thee, that, here's the second purpose, that they also may be one in us. See, they want it. So God and the Father, they want to be one in us. It's a oneness. That's what God wants. And that third, and the world, that the world may believe, in order that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That's the whole point. What are you doing? You don't know. How come you sent? Because Jesus, God was sent. God sent his son to die on the cross to be our savior. And we reckon it so. We calculate it so. And here we are sitting. God help us to have an understanding of why we're sitting. To honor what? God. We aren't honoring a system. We aren't honoring a program of the world. We're looking to honor one person, Jesus Christ, by way of his word. That's what we're doing, looking to God to honor him in the most wonderful way. Now, I got to quit, but I'll give you that. We don't even got there. We're getting there. It takes time. Chapter 17, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why? What is it that you gave me, God, that gave us? I gave you glory. Whose glory? My glory. My glory. So what? I am glorious. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He showed and shared his God's glory. He let it be known. Christ glorified. The Word become flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten, full of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow, the glory of God. The wonderful glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Why? The world may know that I was sent by God. How did you get into my head and heart? I received you as my Savior. For what? To let the world know. Christ in me. Christ in the believing heart. Christ in us. To what? The world know. Where did we? Christ. How did I get saved, God? God sent his Son. And we are what? Showing his Son. And that's what you're about. God has given you his Son, who's glorious. I have given you my glory, said Jesus. I am the glorious one. And I'm going to show that glory. Why? To show the world where, how did you ever get saved? From knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Christ in you, the hope of glory. A wonderful, wonderful thing. It's an awesome thing. I hope you can. Get a little. Our Father and God, thank you for your word and work, and deal with our heads and hearts and help us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, we can't even touch it. All we can do, God, and we aren't sitting trying to play church. We aren't interested in being religious. God, we just want to be able to exercise, God, in being pursuit of such an awesome thing, that in your grace and mercy, you would summon us. Not you died on the cross and summon us to be saved, to know you, to show you, to honor you, to glorify your wonderful person. God, thank you very, very, very much. Help us in every way. In Christ's name, amen.